It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. And, wow, what a day, what a week, what a life.
Is that the way you look at it?
Well, it certainly is a significant... it's a significant time in our life, and it is hard, you know.
Boy, Mr. Drama over here.
Well, it's hard because you're a fan and you appreciate, like,
for sure,
the connection, and then there's a loss. I mean, there's a real loss, and when a player gets traded like this, and this is highly unusual. I mean, Rudy Gobert, what's the top 20 player in the NBA?
Yeah,
and to trade
that's
that.
It's a wild situation. Yeah, and you know, David Locke just tweeted out a picture, and he was talking about how amazing Rudy's been here in Utah, and the community stuff is not unnoticed, obviously. Too Rudy's kids is like one. Sometimes you have these charities, I think, that a lot of folks put together, and you go, oh, yeah, I don't know how into this you are, but Rudy's kids, he was freaking involved, and he was on it, and he worked with kids, and he loved working with the kids. And you could tell it was a guy it was really important to. And I think that this Salt Lake community certainly will miss Rudy. We're going to kick the show off as we always do with the cut. So let's just jump right in here. We're going to have Alema Harrington join us here. So let's get into the program here, shall we?
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cup presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That's uofuhealth.org. We listened earlier with Hans and Scotty. We chatted with them. We also heard David Locke and his thoughts on this whole thing. And with Rudy Gobert, the possibility of him being traded away. We're getting Alema Harrington on the program here to talk about the possibility that if this trade goes through and it becomes official and there are all these numbers and players associated with it, how big of an impact would this make right off of the bat for this Jazz team trying to picture them without Rudy Gobert?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's one of those moments where you hear about something like this and you have an appreciation for what Rudy Gobert brings to your team. And then, you know, considering, well, what if we didn't have Rudy, and then what are we getting in return? And, you know, there's so many moving parts. This is kind of like yesterday I jumped on with Jake and Ben, and we were going to talk about Will Hardy, and all of a sudden the Pac-12 news broke.
Right.
So, you know, there's so many things going on right now. We're going into a holiday weekend with all of this stuff that is part of this chatter. And, you know, for Jazz fan, I think, you know, you're trying to decipher, like, you know, is this news our future looks like? And it's hard at this point, to be honest with you, because there are so many pieces that are still moving.
Right.
And you're wondering, you know, what it's going to look like when the dust settles. And it's hard to make any type of judgment on what has happened until – you know, we get to the finished product, whatever that might be. And, you know, so, you know, I'm kind of in that same boat, you know, looking at what could be for the Utah Jazz. And we all, of course, want the Jazz to be successful. And this is where you put your trust in the guys that have been brought in, you know, with, you know, Fizdale now too, along with Danny and Justin Zanuck and that front office to make the right decisions and build the team that is going to win, hopefully immediately, you know, but building championship teams take time. And I think we're at that point, you know, where you wonder if the window for the current roster has closed or if there needs to be some changes. And there's already that's been, you know, put on this franchise with a new coach, with Quinn Snyder deciding that it was time for him to do something different. And now we have a new era with Will Hardy.
Yeah, speaking of Will Hardy, the Jazz clearly feel that they've got to make some movement with some of their marquee players if they're going to change the roster, if they're going to compete, if they're going to move forward. How much of an input do you think this young coach is having with this front office, or is he just kind of right now with his eyes wide open going, okay, there's a lot of big news potentially happening with the Utah Jazz. How involved do you think he is in all of this process?
I think that he's involved certainly to you know, a large degree in you know, talking with Danny Ainge and with Justin Zanuck and Fizdale now, along with Ryan Smith and Dwayne Wade. I mean, there's a lot of people that have some input here. And at the same time, I really, you know, you look at, and you know this, Scott, having been around the NFL, that, you know, rarely do you have, you know, there's coaches that want to be GMs, but at the same time, that's a very difficult thing
right.
to do, right? And you hope in the coach, the front office is looking for a coach that they can, you know, provide those things, and certainly he'll have some input. But at the same time, they want to be able to have some autonomy to make decisions that are right for the franchise. And so it's one of those, and especially being a brand new head coach first time, you know, I'm impressed with all of the research that I've done on Coach Hardy that this is a guy that at 34 years old is ready for this job. But I think to your question, Scott, of you know, how much involvement he has, it's probably not a ton. You know, he's letting these guys do their thing, speaking of the front office, and then he's going to do his thing. And I believe that Hardy is a guy that is prepared with whatever roster he ends up with to be able to make a splash.
There are going to be a lot of changes, of course, with this roster. Already have been in the last 24 hours, and with all the changes that have been made, and with changes that could still likely happen, do you look at this and say, oh, we're looking at a rebuild here versus a retooling? This is a fan base dilemma that is used to going to the playoffs. It's certainly the last 6 years in a row with Quinn Snyder. There have only been a handful of times, I think, in Jazz, you know, recent memory. Certainly there was the streak that Coach Sloan had of taking the Jazz to the playoffs for 20 seasons. And this is a fan base that's used to going to the playoffs. Is there the possibility of maybe waiting around for a few years to have to get back to that level again? Because the West is really, really stacked right now.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the West and trying to end up in the top 10, you know, versus being in the East. But it is so competitive, and again, we'll see where the dust settles when all of this is done. But you know, I think you're absolutely right as far as what the fan base expectation is, and most fan bases are like that. You know, they have those kinds of at times unrealistic expectations. But for Jazz fans, they're realistic because we've done it for so long. Now, I've been around long enough to have suffered through, you know, seasons where we did not make the playoffs and
right.
that we were in the lottery, and those are challenging times. And I don't anticipate, with everything that Ryan Smith has done as the new owner, to bring in Dwayne Wade and to bring in Danny Ainge and to bring in now Fizdale and some really notable names in the NBA, that this isn't a group that you bring in so that you'll be okay. This is a group that you bring in so that you will be, you know, you'll be a player in the West. And so, you know, maybe I'm being unrealistic thinking that can be done, that you can keep that window open. But my expectation is with this group that's been assembled, that they are looking for ways to keep what Jazz fans are accustomed to keep that going.
With the roster that's presently made up of the Jazz, you know, there are some guys they didn't offer, and they've traded Royce O'Neal, and looking at that trade, you know, getting a first round draft choice for Royce O'Neal, that you know, it's, you know, because you really like Royce O'Neal, you like his story, but you know, for, you know, there was a lot of value the Jazz got for that. Where do you see this roster next year? And of these the players that are still there, which ones do you think will be around? Which ones do you think maybe not be a part of the team?
Well, I probably better not comment on that outside of this, that, you know, we have to remember we get so attached to our players because they're our players. And, you know, understanding and players know this too, that doesn't make it any easier when you know, a George Niang has to leave or ends up in Philadelphia, or Royce O'Neal is, you know, ends up in with the Nets, because those are guys that you brought in, you nurtured and you developed. Right. And even a Gordon Hayward, if you know, you go back several years. And so it's always hard because we get so attached to these players, but this is a business. And when you're looking, I think it, from the front office standpoint, you know, they're always have to be cognizant of, okay, where's the value right now, and what needs to happen for us to be able to get something in return. Those things are always they're much more a part of those guys and their purview and you know, their perspective, than it is for any of us as fans, even though there's plenty of Jazz fans that you know, fancy themselves to be general managers,
right,
and are Twitter GMs. But, you know, that being said, you know, I think you put your trust in your front office and you look at Danny Ainge and his history of development, and same thing with Justin Zanuck and his history of development over the years, and you trust that whatever happens, they'll be able to put a team on the floor that is going to make Jazz Nation proud.
He's Alema Harrington, of course, covers the Utah Jazz, does the television side of pre-half and post, and we're really really glad to have you on a day where, you know, so many moving pieces are there. And so, Alema, we appreciate it. And very quickly, though, on the college football front, I mean, since we do our Football Fridays all together, What on earth is freaking going on in the landscape of college football? Is this the biggest news in college football that we've had maybe in its history?
Well, it's the biggest news since the Pac-12, you know, brought in the University of Utah. And if you can, and I know you can because you are around, remember back when the rumors were that BYU and Air Force were going to the Big 12.
Right.
And, you know, you had all of this, the landscape was changing. And there was an earthquake that took place, and the landscape changed dramatically. And then it settled down, and I don't think we've seen the end. There's going to be some aftershocks, I believe, that will happen here in the near future that will, once again, really change the landscape of college football. The question for BYU and the University of Utah is, you know, how do you maintain relevance if you're looking at the Big Ten and the SEC and everything that they are assembling, right? And are there going to be these two superpowers and then everybody else? Or is there a way to maintain some relevance so that you're part of this conversation on a yearly basis? But it's crazy. And Scott, you know, this is a former, you know, college player. You know, what we're seeing today is like, was unfathomable back in the 80s, and to think that this kind of craziness would be going on, but it's happening, and it's driven by money, and that shouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah, and no, you're right. I mean, it's insane what's happened. My prediction, what I really think is going to happen, I think the SEC and the Big Ten, they might get a little bit bigger than where they are, meaning they might get a couple more teams. Maybe they go to 20 teams.
Yeah.
And I think those two conferences actually break off and create their own separate football entity and just and run everything independent of everyone else. And that's probably really good for them, but it's probably really, really bad for the rest of college football.
Yeah.
And I don't think they care.
College football fans. And I'm with you. I don't think that they really care. And they're you know, looking out for themselves, which you know, I guess we can understand to a degree. But there's been a lot of things, including the NIL, that are having an impact on the college football that we once knew, and it's not the same. It's certainly not amateur, you know, collegiate athletics the way that we knew it. And so, you know, the best case scenario, at least in my opinion, I don't know, Scott, you know, what your thoughts are on this. I'm sure you've commented, but I'd love to see BYU and Utah back, you know, together in the same conference if it's in the Big 12. And you know, that something like that at this point it could happen.
Yeah, it really could. I mean, there's a very, very real chance that it could happen.
Pretty wild stuff. Yeah. I mean, of all the things that are moving around and the pieces that are going to have the biggest question marks next to them in the world of sports that we're dealing with right now, the college football side of things might be the biggest one. So, Lema Harrington, we appreciate you joining us. And we've got lots still to chat about as things unravel the rest of the summer. And we'll get into football season. And then suddenly it'll be Football Fridays again. So, we're looking forward to it, man. Thanks for hanging out with
us. Wait.
There you go.
You guys have a great 4th of July weekend.
You do too, you man. Too, stay safe out there. Don't throw any fingers up, all right? Let's be safe out there. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Man, quite a bit of news, of course. Good to hear Lema's take on it. I know he's a Utah Jazz employee, you know. He can't – there's some stuff he can't talk about. I mean, some of these trades are – and they tell him straight up, hey, look, these trades aren't official yet, so
– Tell they're official.
Don't go on a radio show with Scott Mitchell and say, yeah, Rudy Gobert, we don't need him. Or, yeah, Rudy Gobert, pff, gone, out the door. But the reports, of course, we'll do it because we're not Jazz employees, but the reports, of course, Rudy Gobert being traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves and for four first-round picks, Malik Beasley, Pat Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmaro, and Walker Kessler. Nine pieces of property that the Jazz have gotten as assets in exchange for Rudy Gobert. Biggest move that you've seen out of this Utah Jazz front office, and I don't think we are done yet with that. So we've got more to go here on the program. Stay with us.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.